Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. If you would like to ask a question today, please give us a call. The number is 1-800-524-3604. That's 1-800-524-3604. Or you could drop us an email, midday@sdpb.org. There's a lot more going on in the South Dakota Department of Tourism than deciding who should ride the float at the Macy's Day Parade. Jim Hagan is the department secretary. He joins us today from Pier with some big numbers. Secretary Hagan, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Hi, Lori. How you doing? And I apologize for sort of the miscommunication on our end about me being on the show. I was over at the State Tribal Relations Government Day in the Capitol Rotunda, and my phone rang and said, "You're supposed to be on public radio." I'm like, what? And I always love visiting with you guys, so I apologize for that.
We appreciate you working it out. We're glad. Oh. It's always a pleasure to wait for you.
Oh, thank you.
So before we talk about any of the numbers, I'm curious where the numbers come from. What are we measuring when we measure visitor spending?
Yeah, good question. So we work with an econometrics firm, Tourism Economics, which is part of Oxford Economics. And they're a group that we really like working with them, because all they do is tourism and look at tourism's impacts. And they do a lot of work for major travel associations throughout the United States, the U.S. Travel Association, Brand USA. So not only are they looking at the super huge impacts of tourism, but they can bring it down to the state level, too. And so we released our numbers last week for 2015, and they were just so incredible. We knew that things were shaping up to be a really special summer. You can feel it when the season is going well, and of course, our partners across the state were reporting really strong visitation numbers before the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally and before the 50th anniversary of the Custer State Park Buffalo Roundup, and afterwards. Things have remained really strong into the fall and winter. So, what we essentially saw was that we set all-time records for visitor spending and economic growth. And when they look at that, they're looking at all sorts of things. They're looking at tourism taxable sales, and they're looking just at visitation and just hotel occupancy, everything you can imagine that might be associated with the economy and with tourism in particular. And then they're able to get these numbers for us.
Does the same group measure every year? Are we working with the same company throughout the years, or does that change?
Traditionally, we've worked with IHS Global Insight, and we switched to Tourism Economics. And one of the reasons why was IHS Global Insight was getting away from doing tourism work. And so the great thing about Tourism Economics is they are the guys who created the model for IHS Global Insight. So it was a pretty seamless transition from IHS to Tourism Economics.
So do you do feel that the measurements are measuring the same things they were measuring last year, not just measuring in a different way?
Yeah, just the methodology, I think, is probably more refined and
even better.
Than what it has been. So,
So give us some of the big highlights. What are some of those numbers? Do you have those in front of you?
Yeah, I sure do, I usually have them memorized, but they're so new that I don't have them memorized yet. But what we found in 2015 is that visitor spending reached $3.78 billion. And that supported a total overall of about $5.9 billion in business sales. And when they break that down through the methodology, what they're seeing is that it contributed, once everything has gone through the formula, about $2.4 billion in gross domestic product to South Dakota's economy. And that was 6.1% growth over 2014. And also showing that tourism supports 52,000 jobs throughout the state, generates about $270 million in state and local tax revenue. And the thing that's interesting is about that is that's somewhere between 18 and 20% of all state and local tax revenues. But the statistic that was interesting this year with the jobs number is essentially if those tourism jobs didn't exist in South Dakota, our unemployment rate would be about 14.7%. So it's really a vital part of our economy.
Do you project growth? Do you project these numbers at all, or you just do what you do and try to always increase?
That's the hope.
That's the hope.
We're always doing all we can every year. Of course, you want to see those numbers grow every year. And it's been challenging the last couple of years with the national economy in a recession and things slowing down significantly. you know, gas prices being much higher the last couple of years, you know, that affected the entire country.
Yeah, what is the impact of gas prices on these numbers?
It's significant. It's really significant, Lori, because we're still a drive market in South Dakota. So our key markets of Minnesota, Wisconsin, the Chicago area, the Front Range of Colorado, Nebraska, those states are still our key markets. We're still a drive market. And when the economy is sour and budgets are tighter and families are watching their bottom line, it's significant. So, you know, when you're seeing gas prices that are over $3 a gallon, you know, and $2.75, $2.85, $2.95, you know, those are significant. But, you know, as you see those prices drop, there's no question that those gas prices, when they start coming down, people start feeling better about taking those vacations. And every survey that we have seen now over the last couple months indicates, you know, barring anything that might happen globally, those gas prices should continue to stay, you know, at a pretty decent price. And surveys, again, are showing that families and people are wanting to travel this summer. So I'm optimistic about 2016 as well.
Are we a drive market because we're so much fun to drive through?
I think so, right?
I love driving across the state. It's a real pleasure.
Right. You know, and there was probably, you know, a number of years ago where maybe the family road trip wasn't as important as it used to be, but we've really seen that come back very strong. And it's, you know, it's difficult for us because we don't have a major gateway airport into South Dakota. I mean, it's not hard to get here, but, you know, we're not a Denver or Salt Lake City or Minneapolis that has a major gateway where you can just fly from one destination to the other. But it's just a short little second flight once you get to those major gateways. But, yeah, you know, we really take a look at where are the majority of our visitors coming from, how are they getting here, how are they learning about us, you know, what are their spending habits, media habits, and we know that, you know, the key markets that we're putting out our message into, those are the folks who are driving here. Mm-hmm. And not that they don't fly, but overwhelmingly driving.
That's your next marketing campaign, bringing back the Great American Road Trip, only in a nicer car than when you were a kid.
Right. I still miss that old station wagon with panels and everything else.
Roll down the window. We had a Jeep Grand Wagoneer with wood panels that you rolled down the window.
And we are blessed because we do, you know, from east to west, I mean, the topography is so different, geography is different. But what we hear from visitors, and it doesn't matter if they're coming up through southeast South Dakota and stopping in Vermilion, or they're heading up to the Glacial Lakes in the northeast, down to, over to the Missouri River and down the Missouri River corridor and then to the west. I mean, it's so different, but it's so wide open. And people tell us all the time, oh, your sunsets, your skies are so big here.
Right.
And some people find that a little disconcerting because they're not used to it. but boy, they love those wide open spaces.
So let's talk a little bit about marketing. I'm joking about the Great American Road Trip.
No, I think it's good.
If you use it, I'm going to take credit. I'm just telling you right now.
Okay.
let's talk about marketing dollars. How important is it to invest in telling our story?
It's very important. You know, it's the I like to say that the tourism arena, if you will, the world is, it's a competitive but friendly arena. You know, we have great relationships with other states and other cities that are doing this, but you know, everybody wants visitors to come to their city, to their county, to their region, to their state. So it's competitive. And you know, when you're dealing with states like California and New York and Florida and Texas, for example, I mean, you want to find ways to make sure that people know about you and are finding you. And so, you know, we feel really good about the fact that we're able to get our message out there. We're able to get South Dakota in the spotlight often, and people have been talking about us. 2015 was a banner year for us with public relations. We just had so much coverage nationally through really amazing publications.
So give us some specifics on what happened in 2015 from the public relations standpoint that you think had a big impact.
You know, it started off with a bang for us. So the really well-respected travel publications Lonely Planet and Fromers named South Dakota right away in early January to their top 10 list, naming us one of the top 10 destinations to visit in South Dakota.
Did you orchestrate that somehow?
We visited with, well, not necessarily orchestrating, but we took the time to visit with Pauline Fromer. We hosted one of the main travel writers from Lonely Planet at the 2014 Governor's Buffalo Roundup. And we're not shy about making the case why we think South Dakota should be on the top 10 list of travel destinations. Okay. And you're not guaranteed that you'll make it, but we were able to showcase our state and make the case on why we should. So right out of the gate, they named us to their top 10. And then MSN Travel, about a month later, named us to their top 10 destinations to travel to in 2015. So we had three top 10s right out of the gate. And then the coverage from there, Lori, just, I can't even go through it. There were just dozens and dozens and dozens of stories coming down the pike. Did you know South Dakota top rated for family destinations?
Sure.
Badlands National Park won the top five, actually named number one family-friendly national parks. I mean, it just kept going on and on.
Wait, Badlands National Park is named number one family-friendly national park?
Yeah, family-friendly.
That's kind of a big deal.
It is a big deal, So, you know, it's just... It's, you know, and there are a lot of major publications, but there are a lot of smaller publications that may not be as well known to us, but still have significant viewers and readers from 5 million to 15 million to 20 million. So, you know, and I should mention too, right out of the gate in 2015, CNN.com did a really beautiful video story about Crazy Horse Memorial, and I think they average about 33 million unique viewers a month just on CNN.com. So it just those are just several examples of the sort of coverage that we were seeing throughout the year.
So those individual places and attractions and businesses and cities, they're all doing their own promoting and marketing as well, right?
Correct, yeah. And it's exciting to see that happen because essentially if you look at it as a funnel with the state being at the top and our job is to go out into these other states and around the country to get South Dakota in front of people. And at the same time, you're competing with 12 other states and other cities in those same markets. And then as you start inspiring people and they start drilling down a little bit more, they'll start looking at a region or they'll start looking at a city. And that's what's great. And our partners around the state do a tremendous job, from our chambers to our convention visitors bureaus, even those little smaller entities that may not have either people are really working hard and doing a great job.
Do you measure the impact of an individual campaign or an individual event?
Sure. Yeah, no, you definitely. I mean, that's very important to us to see how is this campaign playing. Is it motivating people? Is it inspiring people to want to visit? I mean, we're constantly monitoring our website traffic, monitoring inquiries that are coming in. We're doing intercept surveys. Any number of different things that we're looking at to see how the campaign is playing out. And we've been fortunate the last couple of years. We started the last 2 years on a new campaign theme called essentially Find Your Great Place or My Great Place, and it plays off of Great Places, Great Faces, Great Places. And it's been really effective. It's really resonated with people. We do focus groups, too. We did a focus group, a couple of years ago, just to make sure that we're in line with what our visitors in our key markets are telling us they're wanting to see and experience and to see what's motivating them.
Sure. And so you have any fresh ideas? You're hatching something new for 2016? Or are you building on those campaigns you already have?
Yeah, so we'll do a new iteration of Find Your Great Place or My Great Place in South Dakota. And what we're really encouraging 2016 is for all the cities and towns and regions of our state to jump on board and showcase your great places in your region. Last year, we also introduced what we called the Great Eight, and there were sort of the eight iconic attractions that really put South Dakota on the tourism map. It's things like historic Deadwood, Mount Rushmore, Crazy Horse Memorial, Custer State Park. Mm-hmm. But find your own Great Eight in your city, your town, your region, and we'll help you promote those as well through our website, through our social media campaigns. But we have found just such a great response to My Great Place. And for a lot of people, the great thing about it can be anywhere in this state. It's just not one particular destination. It can be a state of mind as well. So we're excited about we have some new commercials that will be coming out early this spring in our key markets. And I think they'll play really well.
Have you ever tried anything that kind of flopped?
You know what? We're not afraid to try things. We've been fortunate. I will honestly tell you, we've been fortunate the last couple of years. Nothing has flopped. Mm-hmm. We work really hard though to understand what our visitor wants. Who are they? What is motivating them? What platforms are they on? What are their internet habits? What TV shows are they watching? So you can target those dollars to make sure that you're reaching your core audience. And for us, it is families, young families. And so But we're not afraid either to try new things to put us in the spotlight. But we've been fortunate. The teams work hard, and our partners around the state work hard too to make sure that we've got the right message at the right time on the right platform to reach those visitors.
When you look around at some of the other states as you travel the country or monitor what other states are doing, are there any campaigns that you see and you think, oh, I wish we'd thought of that, or that's really top-notch stuff? Who's doing this really well other than South Dakota?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I think over the last couple of years, Michigan has done an exceptional job with their Pure Michigan campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, sometimes that's also a matter of resources, too, because they had a lot of money to put into those, into their marketing.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's not always about having $30 million or $40 million or $50 million. I don't really worry about what their messages are. I just want to make sure that the message and the marketing that we're doing is resonating with mm-hmm. our visitors. And I think you could look at any state or any city and see things that they're doing that are exceptional and worthy of emulation. And it's not probably that we haven't used the same sort of tactics. But I think the thing we always have to be most focused on is what is right for our audience and for our state.
Because
mm-hmm. you could definitely get in an arms race, if you will, saying, well, this state's doing this and they're doing that. And we have to do what's right for us and sometimes not get caught up in that.
It's good advice for life, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So you were down at the tribal relations events.
Yeah.
Out in Pier, I sat down with Sean Bordeaux and Kevin Killer, both representatives. I think Sean mentioned some tribal tourism. Is there a partnership between for your office and the tribal governments?
Yeah, and that's a great question. It's really, resources are so tight for our tribal governments, and there are so many needs. And when we visit, or when the governor visits with the tribes and tribal chairmen and tribal councils, oftentimes when they may list maybe their top 10 issues or top 15 issues, there are really great needs out there. And tourism, even though it's important to the tribes, they just don't have the resources to put into those sort of marketing efforts at the moment. So what we try to do is do the best job that we can to feature tribal tourism in all of our marketing, whether it be print, video. It's such, especially for our international visitors, they are so enthralled with tribal culture and customs and the history.
Mm-hmm.
And so anything that we can do to put a spotlight on any of those plus events, whether it be a powwow or some other cultural event on the reservations, we want to make sure that that's being put before our visitors, too.
Can you tell, how early can you tell, or can you tell early if 2016 is going to be another banner year? What are we looking at going forward?
Yeah, so I would, what we're looking at is definitely looking at what visitors are saying in terms of intent to travel, and the surveys are all indicating that the intent to travel in 2016 is going to be just as strong as it was in 2015. And are people willing to take a road trip? That's another mm-hmm. thing that we look at, especially for our key markets. The other thing we look at when our marketing really starts to kick in March, we'll really monitor very closely the phone calls, the website visits, the inquiries that are going on, the feedback that we're getting from all of our partners around the state. What is hotel occupancy doing?
Mm-hmm.
It was very strong in 2015. How are our partners doing in attracting conventions and sporting events? And so we're looking, there's so many different things that we're looking at. And it's still very early right now, but, preliminarily, in fact, USA Today just named South Dakota to one of their top 10 destinations in 2016 for the 75th anniversary of the completion of Mount Rushmore as one mm-hmm. of the top 10 anniversaries that visitors should check out. So I feel, like I said earlier, really optimistic about 2016. I think it can be a really strong year for us. One of the key, besides the 75th anniversary of the completion of Mount Rushmore, we have the centennial celebration of the National Park Service,
mm-hmm.
and we're working really hard to promote our national parks and to encourage visitors from around the country to check out our 6 National Park Service units in South Dakota. So
Jim,
I think that's going to drive traffic too.
Jim Hagen, thank you so much for giving us some optimism today.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
Jim Hagen is Secretary of the Department of Tourism for the state of South Dakota. That is our program for today. We hope that it served you.